Hi guys, I'm Marcus from A Little Bit About Not A Lot, and this is the second podcast that I'll be putting out on the blog. A big thank you firstly to all those people who've commented to say you enjoyed the first one. I'm sure you're all being very polite. And also a big thank you to Bob Cartwright, who gave me some fantastic hints and tips, and certainly let me kind of find out for myself just how much work these things can be to put together. So thank you, Bob, for that. And in my eyes, you are a podcasting saint right now, to be honest. I don't know how you do it. But anyway, that aside, yes, a big thank you to all. And this episode is very, very late. The first one, I think, came out in September, just before the coast-to-coast crossing that Paul and I undertook across Scotland. And it's now June 2010 on a sunny Wednesday afternoon. So it's taken me quite a while to get this out. I have got another episode planned and lined up, but that's for another time. This one is just a follow-up to that original first podcast, which is the recordings that I took during the crossing on my mobile phone. So the quality is a bit poor, as is the content, unfortunately, but I've decided in hindsight I will put them up because somebody might get something out of them somewhere. There's no gear reviews or anything of that nature, but just the experiences, and I don't know if I cover it all, but there's a bit in there, so I'll string them all together in one podcast. Bear with me. I hope that some of you enjoy it. But then kind of stay tuned, because I do promise that I will put a third one out there soon with some slightly more interesting things. So for now, I'll leave you with me and Paul at Evanton on the coast, just about to embark upon our four-day crossing to Ullapool.
Kildean Graves.
Yes, Kilkern, is it?
Kilkern Graveyard.
Burial ground. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Just off Evanton. Evanton.
You
did. Nigel from Shore Excursions, our taxi driver, corrected me on that several times.
He's a local from Battersea.
Still hasn't gone in.
Never mind.
So anyway, yes, it's quite windy. Don't know if you can hear the waves from here, but what time is it? Half three-ish?
I make it
25 to 4.
15:38 hours.
15:38. We've got some mileage to do, so we're going to get on. But we're starting. It's on.
It's on.
So this here begins the coast to coast.
And hopefully, I think, by the end of this 5 days, we'll have worked out whether or not Dr. Fox is actually a doctor.
You know what's coming, don't you? Well, we're here for the camp for the first night. It's been a short, long day, if that makes any sense.
Short time, long distance.
Yeah, very short time. We think we've done about 13 miles in about 5 hours, we think.
About that, yeah.
Maybe just under.
Maybe a bit left.
But we've got the tent up, unfortunately, just off the path, as all the best pitches are. And we've just got the alcohol stove on, boiling some peaty-looking water for our dinner.
Starving.
Both quite hungry and ready for a kip and some food.
9 o'clock.
It's 9 o'clock, yes.
I haven't eaten since 12. I've walked 13 miles in that time.
It's raining.
I think we need food.
Yeah, I agree. It's raining and my shoe is getting wet, which is annoying. It's quite windy, isn't it, as well? That's the only thing.
Yeah, apparently we're going to get 80-mile-an-hour gusts.
Yeah, we stopped off at Craig Don Mountain Sports on the way to get some meth and some fuel in Inverness.
I actually laugh in the face of 80-mile-an-hour gusts. it's hysterical, but it's still laughter. That's boiled, mate.
It's boiling, mate.
Boiling.
And we've still got a bit of fuel, which is always good.
Let's ditch this podcast and eat.
Let's ditch this and we'll eat, and we'll come back after. Right, so, we're back, having eaten our food.
Yeah. Feeling a lot better.
Which was pretty awesome. I had a real Termat game casserole, which was really easy to hydrate, and
Tasty.
Tasty, gorgeous.
It was good, yeah. Chunks of, well, what I can only assume is game. With some description.
It looked pretty game.
It looked pretty game, yeah. So we've got a bit of wind and a bit of rain at the moment. We're
sheltering.
Sheltering in the tent.
Yeah.
Some might say hiding. I don't want to say that.
Hibernating, maybe. Might be more appropriate.
But as a first day goes, we, as expected, if not better. We got here a bit earlier than we thought, as we said earlier.
We have had a few visitors to the tent tonight as well.
We've had a few, yeah. And I dare say we're going to have a few more as well.
All I want to say on that, though, is that ticks make me cross.
Yeah, make me cross as well.
It's kind of ironic.
Quite a few spiders, actually, mate. That's my only other thing.
Yeah, well, they don't make me cross. Just
a lot of spiders.
Ticks make me cross.
But apart from that, it's been as expected.
Yeah. It's all good.
So,
long walk.
About 13 point odd miles, I think.
I'm probably going to rack up about 12 or 13 hours sleep tonight.
Our timing was brilliant today, I've got to say, mate.
Yeah, it worked
really
well.
Good.
It did work well. It did
some
work
impressive
well.
Timing, actually, that was.
It's kind of foisted upon us by the beautiful people of Fly B.
Yes, yeah.
And of course, Nigel. Nigel, he's a nice bloke. He picked us up from the airport and he took us to Evanton Beach via Cragdon Sports in Inverness.
Well, it's Fly B who made us a little bit late, didn't he, really, let's be honest.
Well, yeah, that's what I meant. But he got a third.
Yeah, he restored some karma.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
He was in the hands of the gods.
He was a nice guy, I think. I mean, he kept telling us he was.
Yeah, he did say, but so, he's listening, just in case.
Yeah.
But what a great service. He
great service. Not as Marcus tried to point out to him, the norm. No, that's definitely not what he does. He doesn't just do the norm.
No, no. And I guess we should probably talk about what he does do, because that is pretty cool. He,
well, I think it might be illegal. So,
but what he does,
we can't talk about that. Surely not. We paid good money for that, and I don't want to get into trouble for it.
Well, okay, I'll talk about how I found him.
You talk about how you found him.
I put him in
picking
taxis,
up from the streets and
taxis.
Put him in a house.
Evanton to
fed him,
from Inverness Airport to Evanton into Google and came up with his taxi 2 address, and it looked like just a generic thing. I put that in. I asked if I could get a quote for a price to go from Inverness Airport into Inverness to stop at a couple of, well, a shop to get some fuel and then on to Evanton Beach, and he came back and said he'd do it. As it happens, he offers an all-round service. Old Nigel from, I think it's, what was it, Shore Excursions or something.com.
Shore Excursions,
something like that. And he,
his that Shore is in Shore,
as in Shore Line, yes, of course, yeah. As opposed to the,
Name Shore.
Name Shore, yeah, it's okay. And he picked us up and gave us a great service and all for £30.
He didn't give us a great service.
Well, provided a great service.
Yeah, yeah.
I've got to say, mate, they're also providing great service. This Gerwal foot cream is feeling amazing, right?
What foot cream is that? It's just, I couldn't quite hear you.
It's Gerwal. Gerwal Extra.
Gerwal.
Or Gerwal. I don't know how you actually pronounce it. Like, most of the Scottish names I've got wrong today.
Is it Scottish?
No. No.
Oh.
But, in the same way that I've not pronounced one Scottish word right, or place right, today, I'm probably not pronouncing that right either.
I think you got Inverness right.
I got Inverness right, yeah. But yeah, apart from that, so we're in our tent. We've got the Neowares both inflated. Paul's in his sleeping bag.
Yep, I'm in it, and I'm luxuriating at the minute in the warmth of real down.
I'm just applying some foot.
I'm not really down. That's what's in the bag.
And then what? So we've pitched somewhere where we're not particularly happy with, but it's probably the best pitch we're going to get in the dark.
I mean, we couldn't see a thing, so...
We're beyond Wavis Lodge, which looks very impressive, and we thought it was a gamekeeper stopped, didn't he, on the way past as we were walking.
I'm pretty sure it was a gamekeeper. He had all the gamekeeper stop characteristics. Ginger hair.
Big gun.
Big gun, yes.
No.
Big dog. He had a big dog.
And they're it's stalking season around
blood
here,
blood around his mouth. So,
I think they're quite concerned for our safety, so tomorrow we're going to have to be up and early.
He did, in a roundabout way, kind of threaten to shoot us.
And especially since we're camped right on the road, so we're going to have to be away early.
We're not actually on the road.
Well, we're pretty much on the path.
We're close to the road. We're by the road.
Like all the best pitches in the
world. We're within earshot of the road. We're within shot of the road, if he really wanted to shoot at us.
Yeah, that's right.
He wouldn't even have to get out of his car. you could just pull up. It'd be a drive-by.
Yeah,
a Highlands drive-by.
Ooh, that sounds good, isn't it?
You could pop a cap in our ass.
So
imagine that. A ginger Highlands drive-by.
Well, tomorrow, can you imagine?
He actually looked like groundskeeper Willie from The Simpsons. I was expecting him at some point to rip off his shirt.
He was a little
and,
bit...
say, don't worry, laddie. I'll help you. But first, a wee nip of courage.
To be quite honest, I thought he was quite friendly. But, you know, for the story purposes, I'll see where you're going.
Whoa. Friendly's just dull, isn't it? It's just another word for dull. We don't like that.
So, you can entertain while I just... I'm going to get changed and get in the back.
Okay, well... quick Dr. Fox update for all of those people you waiting on that. After a few phone calls...
How did I know that the moment I turned my back, literally, you were going to bring out the Dr. Fox joke?
Well, I've been working on this all day. This is serious stuff. A lot of people out there are quite interested.
Right,
you know, is he a charlatan? Is he really a doctor? These are the questions, important...
Just be very mindful. Hang on.
I'm trying to answer here.
Hang on, you can do this, but just be mindful that I might not be able to wear this if it's defamation of character.
Okay, well, it's not defamation of character at all. This is honest, factual reporting that's taking place here.
Okay, well, that's fine. With that disclaimer out of the way,
okay.
Proceed.
I made a few phone calls, asked a few friends, did a bit of digging. Turns out he studied at the Sorbonne under Professor Santini... And he majored in Latin, and he did a minor part of his doctoral degree on New Romantics in the German monarchy. So, he could well actually be a doctor. Not a doctor, as in a general practitioner, but a student of a PhD level. So, don't let him have a look.
Well, I've got one question, actually.
He's not officially a doctor.
I've got one question.
What?
Is any of this based on fact?
I told you, I made... I called a few... I called my guy, and he called his man.
A man in the know.
Yeah, you know, we work at university, Marcus. You know, we're capable of finding these things out. So, next person that, you know... You might be in the pub tonight, on the quiz machine, or it might even come up in the pub quiz. Is Dr. Fox actually a doctor? And you can say yes. I can't guarantee you'll get the answer correct if you do that.
Well, should we move on to more pressing matters and talk a little bit about gear? Because I'm sure that's what people want to know about. And you've got something I think most people want to hear about.
Have I?
Yeah. What have you got, mate?
What have I got?
Apart from your snappy charisma.
What have I got?
Mate, you've got...
Is it my devilish good looks?
That
most people want them.
I'm
mean.
Wishing to offend, but I'm going to say no.
Okay.
No, what have you got? You've got an Osprey Exos.
I have. I've got an Osprey Exos. Yeah, good point.
30 what?
34. It says 34, but apparently the large, which is the version I've got, is actually 36 litres. Right, so okay. They've sold me a dream. I don't know how. They've squeezed an extra 2 litres into it because I've got a fat back. and it's a very nice pack so far.
Complimentary?
It seems to be.
Nice to pack?
Well, I enjoy packing.
Yeah, you do. It's a favourite hobby of yours.
I love to pack it in. And
hang on a minute, just anyone else listening as well. This sound... Is the sound of an earware. I've heard that people say it's
like
a repetitive sound.
It looks like yours is going flat.
It probably is.
I mean, mine's like a surfboard. Yours
no, well, mine feels good. Mine feels good.
Yours is more like a pack of cocktails, I suppose.
I think mine's the perfect tension.
Tension?
Yeah, wait, okay.
I think we need to ease the tension.
I'm struggling to find my optimum.
Are people really going to be interested in this?
Yeah, I think so. Anyway, we'll talk a bit about where you came from with your bag first.
Where did I come from?
What? Yeah, across what? We don't know what it is, do we?
No, no idea. It's this company called Croft.
Yeah, who probably make what? We think skiing gear, don't we?
Do you think they make Tix Cross? No, they probably don't, do they?
No, I don't think so.
Croft make, do you think they make Tix? Do you think Croft make Tix?
No, probably not.
It doesn't work the other way around, does it? Ticks make me cross. Yes, crosses don't make me tick. Well, maybe they do, actually. That cross bag made me tick.
But I think...
That made me tick along like a TikTok thing.
You see, I think most people will think that a 36 litre or 34, whatever it ends up being, I think that's quite small for a... Well, I personally think it's quite small for a six-day crossing of Scotland, and yet you've packed everything in it, and it looks absolutely fine.
Everything's in there, yeah.
There's nothing hanging out the outside.
No. I've even got my crocolite inside it.
You have, yeah.
Yeah.
It's doing pretty well.
It's a perfectly respectable size bag. You know, less is more in my book. I don't think you need to go mental with literage.
No. Well, I mine's a 30.
I actually suspect that people that use more have got some sort of deficiency they're trying to make up for.
Okay. Well, just, again, if anyone listening, if it was offended by that, I suppose, opinion. We'd like to use some of this audio, if we could, for the benefit of the podcast.
Well, I'm not saying that they're deficient. I'm just saying they've got a deficiency.
Okay. Well, then I also... I've also got a new bag, and mine is the Gossamer Gear Gorilla.
It is a bit of a beast as well.
Yeah, it is. I think it's probably okay.
I'm just moving it.
Okay. No, it is a bit of a beast, but yeah, I think it's 39 litres, I think, in the main compartment, with a few more litres.
How many litres?
39.
39?
In the main, yeah. In this main section.
You've clearly got a deficiency.
Well, this is what I was going to say.
and when I say deficiency, I'm not. I don't mean, you know, I'm not talking about a mental incapacity. I'm merely saying that your packing ability is perhaps deficient.
Yeah, lazy, yeah.
Or you just carry too much stuff.
I've probably got the same... Well, I mean, that's fine.
More than necessary.
Although I must say that I did feel quite good when you put your bag on the airport scales and it came out at smack on 10 kilos. I put my bag on and it came out at 8.8 kilos.
Yeah, but the important thing to remember here is that you didn't put all your bag on.
No, but then the reason why I brought this up is because as I was unpacking my bag just then to find some essentials, I noticed that I didn't have all of my chocolate or my jelly babies in there as I'd first said. I had two Mars bars in there, my phone and a camera.
So what you're saying is that actually you had less in there than you thought?
No, I had more in my main bag than I thought, and less in my chest pouch than I thought.
But I yeah, I mean...
I'm doing pretty well there.
It's a moot point.
I'm not sure what it proves. It was just...
To me, all it proves is that you've got a large space of air in that bag, because it doesn't weigh anymore, so what's in there?
I think I just like to leave my sleeping bag lofting a bit more and my down jacket lofting a bit more, you know, just for, I don't know, efficiency purposes.
Well...
It's just a rubbish, I don't know what it is, it's just like my laziness in packing.
Yeah.
I do have packing envy, actually, to be honest.
Do you?
Well, yeah.
I do like to pack it in.
It seems that everyone but me seems to be able to pack really well. Charles is good at packing.
It's like a game of Tetris.
In fact, the only reason why I managed to get all of my things, including my crocolites and my tent poles and my walking poles, and pretty much everything bar those couple of chocolate bars and everything else inside the pack, it was because Charles had the packet.
Yeah, I don't have that luxury.
No. Okay, so...
There's one piece of gear. If anyone wants to help me find that piece of gear, that'd be great. The doting girlfriend.
No, but that wouldn't just do. She has to be good at packing.
No, well, I'm good at packing, so she wouldn't have to be.
Well, what do you need to know?
To dote.
Okay. Yeah, doting purposes. Oh, mate, I'm so comfortable. This Neo Air is impressive. Just how thick it is.
Oh, yeah.
So, what else happened? Let's close this off a little bit.
This is nearly as thick as Kerry Katona.
I'm sorry, Kerry, if you're listening.
You just don't know, do you? No.
Anyway, so day one, 13.3, maybe 13 or so miles. I think quite good, but tomorrow it really probably starts for us, isn't it?
In record pace for us.
Yeah, record
pace. Four hours, maybe 4.5 hours.
Yeah, I think about 4.5.
I think it was 4.5. I think we set off at 3:30 and we were here by 8.
Yeah, it was
impressive. And then we kind of waffled around for about an hour putting the tent up and...
By looking for somewhere to put it.
Looking for somewhere to put it, yeah. So I think that's a good pace.
I think it's impressive, and to be honest, I was really glad to get the tent up, really glad. I was really hungry.
Yeah, no, it was good.
But just to get the tent up and the sleeping bag loft in and the new way out.
As soon as we'd erected, it was It was bliss.
Yeah. So we touched briefly on the one before we ate about that guy at Craigdon Mountain Sports who was...
That guy?
Yeah, that guy.
Never go there. They sold us the worst ever waterproof bag.
Anyway, that aside, he was saying that the weather's going to be pretty nasty over the next few days.
Yes.
Whilst he was telling us that really bad dry bag.
Yeah, which he actually said, this is a piece of rubbish, that'll be £7.
At least he was honest.
Well, I'd rather he was honest and didn't charge. It's not...
You know, would you rather...
It's not... Well, it's just... It's not... You know, that £7 isn't a price you pay for a piece of rubbish. It's the price you pay for a good thing.
I just realised I've made a mistake.
What?
I've not got my pillow.
You didn't want your pillow?
Don't worry. When we close this off, I'll go and get a pillow. Down jacket out, into the pillowcase. Pillow. Done.
Okay. Just keep dropping your names in there. It's not just a jacket, it's a down jacket.
Down jacket. Well, you could, you know, there's no point in having just a jacket, is there? It needs to be down, I think.
I'm not going to say it's pointless.
Well, you've got a new down jacket. Why don't you talk about that?
Well, it doesn't talk about it. I haven't even put it on yet.
Have you not even tried it on?
No. Well, I tried it on. It fits. That's all I can say about it so far. It fits.
Is it warm?
I did get quite warm in the short period of time I had it on.
Yeah, whilst you were in the house with the heating on.
Yeah, I was in the hot shower as well.
Well, yeah. What is it anyway? You need to name drop. What is it?
I don't need to name drop.
Well, you do, because people would like to know that.
Okay, well, if you really are interested, it's a Peter Hutchinson design. Ultra.
Yeah.
Pullover.
Yeah.
It's quite light.
Really light.
Well, it's quite light.
What's the spec on that? 260?
I don't know. I think on the website it's 230.
230?
Yeah. But that just made me think of the dentist.
Well, that is impressively light, and it's a full-on jacket, isn't it?
It's a pullover. It's only got a half zip. It has got a hood. It has got a hood, yeah.
That is so light.
It is, it's very minimal. Has it got a hood? Maybe it's not got a hood, then. No, it's not got a hood.
Ah, okay, no hood.
No. I don't know now.
I mean, you've had so little involvement in it, you don't actually know.
Yeah, I have no idea. Maybe tomorrow night I can fill you in on the hood situation.
Well, I bet by tomorrow night we'll be wearing that.
I hope that we won't be wearing it.
Well.
Yeah, well, that'll be a bit too cosy.
I've seen it, it's quite large, I think I can get in it.
That will be a bit too cosy.
Well, I guess that kind of wraps up day one then. So what about tomorrow? We've got quite a long day tomorrow again.
Another 13 miles into a howling gale.
Yeah. All westerly winds as we're heading northwest, so that should be nice. And then...
Are they westerly winds?
According to the MWIS forecast today...
Does that mean winds are coming from the west?
From the west, yeah. Westerly.
Right. Okay.
I think that's right. I don't know.
The winds will be blowing from the west, west to the east.
And that's going in our faces.
In typical style.
We had some rain on the way, but it was okay.
On the way?
On the way to here today.
Oh, well, there was one gust, wasn't there?
Well, it was a big one as well. It came out of nowhere.
It did.
I thought you were going to lose your hat, but I was impressed.
I did not see it coming.
No. Well, lucky for me, I did.
There were no signs.
No. But yeah, another 13-mile day tomorrow, and then I think we're probably properly in the wild. We leave all the tracks behind, hoping to avoid anyone hunting. That would be nice as well.
Bears. We don't want to cross many bears.
No bears, no.
Wolves.
No. Yeah, well, anyway, let's close that up, shall we? So, what time is it? 9:30? I don't even know what time.
Let me have a look. I'll tell you. It is... I'm looking on my Swatch watch, which is multicoloured.
Name dropping, are we?
Yeah, it's a multicoloured Swatch, with many, many of the colours of the rainbow on it. And it's telling me that it's actually saying it's 11 o'clock. So it's a bit disappointing. I was hoping to be in bed by 9:30. I'm going to sleep now.
Yeah, well, anyway, more, I guess, tomorrow. About how the night went, I guess. All right, good night, Paul.
Night.
Well, I wanted to do a quick podcast if I could, purely because it's day two and we've left camp and wandered down, wandered up the glen,
And we kind of wanted to get away early because of the previous evening we'd seen the Rangers, I think we'd said. And he'd advised that they'd be doing some stalking and hunting to the next day, and he was a little edgy that we were going to be around, so we promised we'd get away early. So that's what we've kind of done. Made again very good progress again today. We're just approaching a forested area before we pick up the path which goes directly to I think it's Loch Vake, I think it is, or Vaish. And we're doing pretty well. We've just had lunch. I just had some rice, which wasn't very fulfilling at all, which is a bit of a shame. But now we're going to crack on, I think, for another couple of hours. Our pace is just amazing. We seem to be covering miles, even though the terrain has been really tough and trying today. Lots of boggy ground, no tracks really. We've cut a couple of peaks out to try and save a bit of time. But we've just got to approach the bridge now at the stream, and it looks as if we're going to follow the track round through the forest and then up and over the next bridge and into the next glen where we should meet up with Loch Vake. So more a little bit later on when we get there in an hour or so. But so far so good. A few bits of sore feet. Weather's been really good today. Held off. A bit drizzly, but you know, it's hasn't been on and off with the wet weather gear at all. It's been quite good. So hopefully it'll continue like that, and I'll do an update when we get to our pitch, our camp. Right, it's pretty much I think it's about 4:30 on day two. We've just arrived at Loch Vake, I think that's how you say it. The wind is really whipping across the loch there. It looks to be coming up from coming up from the south of the loch, which is a complete shift in the direction of the wind. We're here at the two bodies. I say two bodies. One of them is just a derelict building, and the other one seems to be a sheep house. it's been a good day. We've got here in good time. Knees are tired after all the ascent and descent today, definitely. The bag was really comfortable today, actually, for the latter part. I was struggling at the start. I think I'd packed it incorrectly this morning, and just wasn't getting the arch from the aluminium curved frame. So that was really, really not working for me at the first half of the day. But adjusted, and it started to feel really good on this last bit of the walk. And the only complaint I would have would be the knees. Paul's gone off to go and do his business. So it's just me at the moment looking around the bothy, and just trying to work out where we're going to pitch, because we're not going to stay in the bothy. It's been occupied by sheep for far too long, I think. So I think we're going to try and work out what the wind's going to be doing over the next hour or so, and get the tent up, probably in the lee of one of the walls from the dwellings, I guess. It seems like a nice little spot underneath. If that's not too boggy and wet, then that might be a nice little spot in the lee of that wall. We're expecting quite high winds, I think, tomorrow. The guy from Craig Don, as we said last night, managed to mention that we knew it was going to be quite windy, but he mentioned that the worst of it was coming, I think, on the Friday. So we're going to have to take a decision as to whether we do try and make our ascent of Shauna Brake. That's the apparently correct pronunciation of it. And we'll have to decide whether we do that tomorrow or whether we try and take a... it'll still have to be a high route, I think. It's the only way to get there, but a slightly less... difficult route and less high route, but we'll work that out, I guess, tomorrow, and we work out what the weather's doing overnight. So our plan, I think, is pretty much to work out where we're going to pitch, get the tent up, get the bags lofting, and we're going to try and get a fire going, I think, inside the body. Somebody's kindly left some wood to dry by the window, and there's a rather large fireplace and a shovel, so I think we might be able to get involved in that a bit later on and see if we can get a fire going with the jet boil, I think, is the way we're going to have to do it. So that's our plan, and I think what we'll probably do is come back later and do a bit better of a review of the day, because it would be good to talk about gear, I think, after this second day, because we've had, you know, a bit of time to pack the bags and unpack the bags and worked out how we're going to work. And you know, normally this wouldn't be that interesting. Well, I'm not saying it would be interesting now, but normally that wouldn't be that interesting, given bar the fact that we have both got new bags and quite a bit of new gear. So interesting to see how we you know, we review it at the end of today, I think, and then how that review maybe holds up at the end. So we'll probably come back and do a bit of that, maybe once we've got the fire going. That might be a nice bit of ambience, and certainly out of the wind. It's only a shame we haven't bought some deck chairs.
We are sat in the bothy, in front of a fire, dry enough, warming up, thinking about food.
I've been thinking about food for a while.
What a situation to find ourselves in.
What time of the day was I not thinking about food?
But what a situation to find ourselves in at the end of day two.
We've done well.
We have done well, and it's so nice to have the fire. The tent is pitched around the back of the second bothy. It's pitched so beautifully. Big Aggie would be happy with how that tent was pitched.
It is tight. It's really, really tight. Just the way Marcus really likes it.
We've had a wash. We're happy we missed that bit out.
Well,
we donned the Crocs. We abandoned our clothing and made a mad dash for the lock.
Yeah.
And had a very quick wash and then
I like to think of it more of a frolic.
A frolic, yeah, for a bit of a frolic.
Cavorting.
Well, you might have. I had a wash. Yeah, I made the most of that.
I didn't really do much cavorting.
Wash some freezing. Clothes, wash some socks.
It was extremely cold.
It was extremely cold. Wash the hair and everything. I've had a real good wash. I'm really quite pleased with how I feel right now.
I actually think that if Neil Armstrong had stripped off on the moon, it'd have been water.
Yeah, you did make a dash. As soon as you were out of that water, there was no hanging around. I have visions of us just drying off by that drying out piece of driftwood.
I would say that it's about 100 metres from the lock to the bothy.
Yeah.
I think Usain Bolt would have struggled to cover that any quicker, that distance. The fire was lit, I was off.
I have visions of us just hanging around that driftwood and drying off. And I looked around.
What an idiot.
And you've gone. And you hadn't even gone to just stand anywhere near the body. You'd run inside.
Well, yeah, it was warm inside. You know, why am I going to hang around by some driftwood? I can hang around by some driftwood on fire.
It was a stroke of genius getting the fire going before we went.
It worked
for the wash.
I think we planned ourselves out quite well.
No, I agree, but I think we did. Good times ahead. So I'm really ready for some food now, mate. What time is it?
It's 7 o'clock.
It's food time.
Beep, beep, beep.
Well, today's the day. It's Shauna Braig day. It's looking outside the tent. It's actually, it looks quite nice out. We've got a bit of blue, a bit of low cloud whistling past. But it looks quite nice out there. It's pretty nippy, so I think I'm going to have to put a jacket on or something. But the wind last night seemed pretty... Well, I thought it was pretty windy, but Paul didn't seem to think it was that bad. But maybe it was just the sound of it in the trees. But I could hear it through the earplugs. But the tent is just so solid. We seem to have done an amazing job at putting it up this time. Probably the best we've ever done it, and it's just so solid. So there's no worries about that last night. But I think we were probably nicely sheltered in the lee of the second bothy here. So that was quite lucky. I'm going back to... Well, Paul's packed up already. He's on a bit of a mission today for some reason. I'm not sure why. And I'm just packing away now, trying to get some stuff in the bag and get dressed. And I think we're going to have a look at the map in the bothy over a cup of tea. Hopefully the socks and underwear have dried out from yesterday with the help of the fire. I think we're going to have a look at the map and probably try and judge what the weather's doing before we decide which route we're going to take. So... We've got another 10 or 12 mile day today, taking in the rest of this kind of glen, walking up the rest of the eastern shore of Loch Veich, I don't know what it's called. And then we pass Dynack Lodge on our right, and we take a left down the glen, which I'll pull out the maps and we'll work out what glen it is in a minute. And I think we have to pick a suitable point to make our ascent, really, up to Shauna Braig, because... I don't think it's one of the most obvious routes from that particular point, and I think it's all up as well from there. So it's going to be an interesting day, but I'll come back later and maybe do a bit of a top up and see how we're doing. I'm
not sure if you can hear that. That I am stood next to Alt Loch Srubenmora, I think is the name of it, which we've just ascended out of Glen Beg or Glen Beag, or Glen Beag, I don't know how you say it. But it's an impressive little waterfall, and touch and go to cross it actually. I crossed it quite confidently with poles, but all went across without. It's quite impressive. But yeah, it's a lovely view from here. Really lovely view, and we're going up to Loch Srubenmora for lunch. We're a bit behind today. We decided to hang around at camp a little bit. I think my earlier delays have caused that. So we've had a fairly good morning, really, walking through the glens, past Dinac Lodge, along Glenbeg, past the dam, and then picking up the path that comes across these two waterfalls. I guess we're going to stop for lunch in about half an hour when we get up onto the loch. Still got quite a climb to go, but we're making good progress, and we're going to try for Shauna Brake, despite how windy it is. It's overcast, but there's spots of blue and not so much low cloud, so visibility shouldn't be too bad, and we're going to go for it, and hopefully the knees hold out, and I can get there without any further injury. Feet holding up well, the Innovates are doing a really good job. It's just the weary knees, I think, and they'll be even worse after the descent, I think, back into I think it's Loch Corrie Moor, where we're going to the Corrie Moor body. So after that descent, I'm sure I'll be really feeling the pain, but I guess we'll come back a bit later on this afternoon, and apologies for not updating a bit more regularly, but it's difficult sometimes to find the time or to find the discipline to stop. I guess that's the joy of walking, you kind of get lost. But yeah, I'll come back a bit later, and perhaps we'll do an update a little bit later on, maybe doing lunch at the lock. Well, 7:30 PM on day 3. Thought I'd do a very quick update. We've been walking pretty much all day. Shauna Brake was amazing, but a real slog to get to. We were rewarded with ace views and a really lovely sunset. And now we're faced with having to cross the river at Loch Corrie Moor to get to the bothy, which we pretty much know to be closed, but are hoping for some reason it'll be open. And if it isn't, there'll be
real trouble for someone.
There'll be a really flat piece of ground just for us. Yeah, so we're just trudging on around the edge of the river now, just trying to work out the easiest way across. It looks to me like it's going to be Crocs, without a doubt. Shoes strapped to the pack and Crocs on. But it is getting better, I think, as we're coming round, away from the opening of the lock. Oh, crikey. Anyway, we'll keep on and cross it, and maybe we'll do a bit later on to review the day. Right, I'm not sure if you can hear this very well because of the wind, but it's day 4. We had a fairly windy night, and I think the last time I did a recording, we were about to cross the exit river of Loch Corrie Moor. We're going to head towards Corrie Moor Lodge, and we got across the river, made our way round to the lodge, and as we got there, wind really picked up, and we could both smell. It was amazing to smell, actually, as well, wasn't it? The log fire. And as we got a bit further around, we could see light in the window, so we thought it was pretty conclusive that it was closed for the stalking season. So it was getting dark quite quickly as well by that point. So we started to head back the way we'd come. I guess it would have been west, along the path back along the loch. And yeah, sorry, maybe northwest, yeah. And then looking in the dark for a reasonable pitch, and it just didn't seem to come for a while. And I think we probably walked for what, an hour? I think, maybe less. Felt like forever. We eventually gave in, had to put the head torches on, and then I think by Paul's quick thinking, we headed on down the path. As you remember on the map, they went down by the river, and we found a really comfortable, although not perfectly level, pitch for the tent, where we hunkered down and got some food on. But it's a fairly late night in the end, because what time do you think we ate at?
9:15.
Yeah, probably about 9:15. And then it was pretty much to sleep from there, but it was a really windy night. There were points when I could feel the wind coming through the back end of the tent and blowing along the sleeping bag. But I think after a little listen to the nano, I eventually dropped off. But it was a really clear night. I had to go to the toilet. I don't know, what time did I go? Do you remember?
It was 1:00.
I had to go to the toilet and...
Yeah,
I could see the Milky Way. It was so clear. Really, really clear. And I guess that's why it was a little bit of a chilly night. But for some reason, I was sweating in my sleeping bag. And I think maybe that's a combination of eating late and having a chocolate. But then we woke this morning to a glorious day. Had some breakfast, washed in the stream, washed some socks, packed away, and then picked up the track again. And the plan was going to be... stop here a minute, out of the wind for a minute. What was the plan going to be? We were going to head to Loch Damp, is it?
Knockdamp.
Yeah, Knockdamp Bothy on Loch Damp, I think it was on the northwest end of the loch. But we're thinking today that we could see from... Shauna Brake, we could see what we thought was the craggy outcrops of Glen Achill. So we're going to head on down there instead, make some progress, pitch early, and have a nice easy day again. A few more miles than the original 7.5, but have another easy day, and find somewhere good to camp, hopefully down by the river, and chill out for hopefully half of the day, and then get into Ullapool early-ish, maybe around lunchtime. Maybe a bit after on the Sunday, and I think scout out where the youth hostel is and then find some actual food and some liquid refreshment. I'll be having, I think, in the oddest way as well, I think I'll be having an ice cold lager to start, but then I will go with some sort of local ale. I think it'd be rude not to. Are you going for a straight strongbow or a strongbow shandy?
I'm going to have an iron-brewed strongbow shandy.
Okay, I'd love to see that. Right, well, Paul's just told me it's 3:15. On day 4, that would be Saturday. And we've left... Loch Damp and headed on down into Glen Achill, originally with the plan, the already adapted plan, to come and camp down in Glen Achill for the night, and then give us a shorter day tomorrow. But given the blistering pace we've been able to get at the last few days, we decided that at 3:15 we can probably be in Ullapool for about 7, maybe earlier, you know, with the pace we seem to be picking up at the thought of beer. Gone from about 2.5 mile an hour to about 3.5.
That iron brew strongbow shandy is really on my mind.
So I think we'll be in Ullapool tonight for hopefully a night in the youth hostel.
Hot shower,
some food, a few beers, clean some clothes, give them a chance to get dried, and then we've got all of Sunday to relax and get ready for the flight on Monday morning, which is a dynamic route management, mate. Real time.
I think that's more of a macro. Micro as well.
Yeah. So we're going to have to get a bit of a shuffle on if you want to get in there for a reasonable time and see what a Saturday night in Ullapool has got to hold for us. We were thinking of...
Hoping there'll be some dingy little nightclub.
I'm hoping there'll be a beatboxing competition.
Called Rio's.
Or the beach.
Yeah. Shuffles.
Shuffles, yeah. The Ullapool Shuffle Bar.
Yeah.
It should be quite an easy walk back. It's just the mileage, isn't it?
I'm hoping to find a caber tossing competition to take
part. Caber tossing, yeah. I think you might have missed the season for that, unfortunately. Because I, for one, would love to see that. So that's pretty much it. Just thought I'd give you an update. So next time I'll probably be in Ullapool, where no doubt be in a pub, I guess. And we'll, I guess we'll go from there. I never did make that last recording in Ullapool, although some of you would have guessed that already. But in short, Paul and I trudged on back down the road into Ullapool, making great time, although it was a long slog. We kind of headed in on the most scenic route into Ullapool, taking the kind of high route up into the woods and then back down, which got a great view from the kind of above Ullapool. And as we made our way over, we managed to time our arrival just in time with a passenger ferry, which seemed to arrive at the same time. We arrived at the youth hostel in good time too, and obviously booked two beds, which we quickly kind of bagsied and then went off to get showered and ready for a night out in Ullapool. Paul in particular was excited about this Saturday night in Ullapool, and unfortunately there was nothing particularly crazy happening, as I'm sure you would have guessed. But Ullapool is a really great place, and all of the pubs, the locals and even the visitors were really great bunch of people. I certainly enjoyed the whiskey shelves on a number of occasions over the two nights that we stayed. But unfortunately the weather closed in after that, so we did actually get the best of the weather for the time that we did the walk, and it was certainly one of the most enjoyable trips I've ever undertaken. And I consider myself quite lucky of having had some great holidays, but I consider, although that was, you know, fairly hard work at times, I do consider that to be quite a fantastic holiday by all accounts. I hope you enjoyed it. I do apologise for the kind of lack of real serious content in that. Not least the ridiculous ramblings on day one and day two. Believe it or not, there were no alcohol consumed during that entire trip until we reached Ullapool, and so that we can't even blame on the alcohol. But it was just a light-hearted look at our crossing more than anything, and I hope that podcast number 3 will be a bit more factual and probably a little bit more serious. But I thought it might be some people might get something from that, and it might be at least a little bit enjoyable. So yes, please stay tuned for podcast number 3, which hopefully will be coming shortly. Please leave me any comments. I do welcome your feedback, and you can do that on the blog at www.alittlebitaboutnotalot.co.uk. Or you can email me directly at alittlebitaboutnotalot@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and I look forward to hearing from you.